So we're in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm reading at verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I think of that word many times, that very first verse, God saying, I charge thee. Listen, this is not a credit card business. I mean, everybody's charging something. Hey, this is a charge from heaven to preachers. This is a charge from heaven to preachers that we better stick to our preaching. We better stick to the Word of God, and we better preach and declare the whole counsel of God. Here's a place now where we can look to see it comes right out of the heart of God. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's solemn to me. A charge from above to duty. There's a duty to every preacher in the land. There's a duty. There's a solemn duty. Why should one of us give way and give leave to the fact that a lot of other people will wind up in hell because the preacher just failed in his preaching and declaring the counsel of God, preaching the truth of the Scriptures? Why should we fail a charge? Hey, today, let us know and understand that is solemn now. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. I charge now. I think of that charge then as being a solemn manifestation of God's Spirit, showing us that if we fail here, we're going to utterly fail. If we fail to listen to God at this point, the next place, the next failure is just that a lot more souls are going to be misled, wound up in hell because preachers failed them. I don't want to fail God. I don't want to fail you. I want to preach the Word, and I want you to always listen to it. Amen. Take it to heart. I'm not ashamed of the Word of God. I'm not ashamed of any verse in the Scripture. I'm not ashamed to preach and declare any part of the counsel of God. I don't have anything in me that I say, I can't preach this because of this, and I can't preach this because of those people over there. I'm going to preach this Word and hold on to it. I've got to preach it, but I've got to live it as well. Can you say amen? Got to live it every day, and we should be into it. Preach the Word. This is the commandment of God. Preach, not Newsweek magazine, not something else. Preach the Word of God. Preach the Word. It's preach the Word and be instant in season and out of season. Be instant. Be ready. Be prepared. Down in your heart, you ought always be ready, as the Scripture would teach you. Be ready to give an answer to Him, you know, that would ask you along the journey of the hope that you have in you. Be ready to give an answer to someone who is not saved, bringing a message to someone, a witness to someone, a testimony, you know, or just to stop and spend a little time and talk to them along the way, that you might show them there's a Savior and they can be saved and have eternal life. You know, we can't push these things aside. We can't take them lightly. But it's a sad story to think of how much of what I'm preaching right now is ignored. It's ignored by many who stand in this place and are seemingly ashamed to or afraid to speak up and preach and declare the truth and the whole counsel of God. Now, he said to be instant in season and out, yes, but he said to reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Why would he tell us to do that? It must be needed in the church. Can you say amen?
Yes.
Hey, the church crowd is not always the nicest people. The church crowd is not always the nicest people to preach to. Sometimes the church crowd, you know, I mean, they have roast preacher for dinner. Hey, Sunday after Sunday, there's something wrong with everything some preachers preach. You know what I mean? Well, I would want us all to be in this place where we are willing now to stand up and hear the Word of God and listen to it ourselves and recognize that we're just fulfilling a great duty here, that we have a solemn charge from God that we should preach this Word. And we should be willing now to rebuke the sin and the ungodliness that's going on today. We have to rebuke those things that are wrong, those things that are not right. The Bible says to rebuke. Rebuke now surely is given out to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Not of yourself. It's not a reproof of yourself. It's not you reproving the world. It's not you. It's the Spirit of God in you that wants to rebuke. And there's many things that need rebuked in our generation. Many things that are going on that are so unlike Jesus that you can't imagine how some of these things ever found themselves under a cover, under a roof, and they had a sign out front and they called it church. We look at our day, you think it was bad down on the Cape and out there on the Horn. Sure it is. It's a terrible place. But you know you can find that in the church. And you can go down to Boston and find it in the church. That the church, from the pastor down, they're all that way. They call it a church. Ah, that needs rebuke, doesn't it? That needs rebuke. That's no church. My, that's a hellhole. Can you say amen? That's a sinkhole. You get in there, you won't get out. And that's where they are. They're in it. But we've nevertheless got to preach the Word. But so many are saying, well, you offend people. I hope so. Hey, you rebuke people, you'll offend people. You rebuke sin and you're going to offend some people. But after all, if we're going to be responsible, and we must be responsible before God of what we preach and what we declare. And what about it if we don't rebuke it? What about it if we fail to tell people? Then, you know, it's like you bring the blood back upon your own hands because you were ashamed to speak up. Hey, I'm not ashamed to speak up about that kind of a lifestyle. I'm not ashamed to speak up and to speak against it. No, not at all. After all, it's one of the great signs that are in this generation that tells us the end is near. Hey, as the days of Lot, hey, it's right here. It's right before our eyes. It's all over. It's all over the nation. It's all over the world. And we got to stop and consider. I don't think it gets rebuked enough. Amen? Somebody will have to speak up and say it like it is. And that's what we should do. And you shouldn't sit out there and feel bad that someone up here would say it. After all, you don't live that lifestyle, do you? Hey, you've turned from that way and that wicked life. Well, thank God, then you should sit up with a smile on your face when the preacher's preaching it. Amen? Hey, we preach against those things because they're wrong, they're evil, and they're a trap for multitudes of people in our generation. And because of that sin, it brought Sodom and Gomorrah down to an ash heap. The inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah were burned into a place now where we could say, they suffered what is referred to then as the suffering of the vengeance of eternal fire. Yeah. So we bear that in our mind and say, God wanted the world to know, way back in the book of Genesis, that this thing was not going to go with Him. That this was not right. This was evil. And so there will be multitudes who will miss their opportunity for heaven because they won't turn away from such a way. But this morning, let us hold firm. Nevertheless, we have a charge. There's a charge from above that we should preach the Word. Hey, that's what we should preach, and there is a message in the Word, and it deals with the subject. Can you say amen? And we must declare then God's Word. Now, I like to think in my mind and heart as I look at God's Word that these things today, they're being looked down on as to say, we shouldn't bring it up. It shouldn't be mentioned. It shouldn't be talked about. Saints of God, when we start reverting to that, hey, we're going to fail everybody. We're going to fail everybody. Say they'll go on in their way, and in the end, God may ask you the question, why didn't you preach to them? Why didn't you declare the Word? Why didn't you declare the whole counsel? Why didn't you do your part? Why didn't you go back and preach what I already preached to them? Go back to that Word of days gone by to the days of Abraham. So let's be thankful that we can take this serious charge that God has set before us. Now, I think that's solemn, and I think that's something that we've got to take personally to heart, that God has called us as a preacher. Then He expects that He's going to have control in our heart and life, and the words that come out of our mouth can be the words of the Lord that we'll speak the truth that's in Christ, and we'll speak the truth now that our generation will know, our generation will hear. Well, I thank God. Now, looking on here, he said to exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Why should I have to do it with long suffering? It's not going to be easy. I'll get stoned for saying something. I get thrown stoned. Hey, I'll hear bad words from somebody because I would preach against something, you know, and making it obvious that it's wrong, it's evil. And if we get stoned once in a while, let's just wipe the blood off and let's get up and let's go back to preaching. Can we say amen to that? We just can't lay aside. We can't mealy-mouth. We just can't soft pedal. Can we all say amen to that? Now, I know sometimes we fail to stop and look at what is being said. I'm in verse 3, and I'm just going to start reading there. For the time will come. Now, that's prophetic. The time will come. Now, somebody said, what time? Well, there's a time for a lot of things. Jesus is going to come, that's for sure. The time will come. And here's where we could be caught up in the worst failure of our generation. That we would fail to take advantage of the opportunity to just yield to the Spirit of God and speak what He said. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's speaking to the church. The time will come when the church will not endure sound doctrine. They won't endure sound teaching. Now, we got to consider, we are brought to focus in on that. It's something to do about my charge. I'm charged to preach this gospel, then I'm charged to know that the time will come. And I believe the time did come. Amen. It's here. It's our generation. It's our time. The time would come when men would not endure sound doctrine, not enduring sound teaching. They wouldn't take it. They wouldn't endure it. They wouldn't take it to heart, but they turned aside to something else. So we're warned very strongly in God's Word then what we should do. So I know the time would come. The time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Sounds like to me that the deeper you get into this particular period of time, the more you're going to realize now what's behind all this. But after their own lusts, they will heap teachers who will preach, it's all right to do what you're doing. It's all right to wallow in what you're wallowing in. It's all right to lay down in that awful bed of hell there, in that den of iniquity. It's all right. That's what people are wanting someone to do today, is to okay. Not an okay saying you're preaching God's Word and you want people to respond to it. It's just the other way. You're preaching God's Word and that's what we should preach. But there's the preacher out there who now, of himself and after his own lust, after their own lust, is preaching now that all of this is quite normal and quite all right. So we've got to kind of consider, for after their own lust shall they heap. Heap meaning, you know, a pile, a lot. Hey, a lot of preachers, not a couple, not just a strange one happened to appear somewhere in India or South America or somewhere, or in Boston. Not like one little thing happened. It's like a pile. It's like a heap. It's like a great heap. They heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears who turn away their hearts from the truth. Now that is dangerous. That's reckless. Turning anybody's heart away from the truth. A little simple reference. God is looking, or Jesus taught us clearly, you know, if one of us should take one of these little ones who believe in Him, and if we should then, by our words and our ways, destroy that faith in Jesus that's in that little child's heart, it would be better for us if they hung the millstone around our neck and threw us in the sea than to just destroy the faith of one little person. One young believer, one little child. We can't afford to destroy faith. We're not here to destroy faith. It's destroyed in many people. But we are here to preach the power of God. We're here to preach a message that will bring people to come to the place where they'll recognize. It takes something to speak up, heaping after their own lust. Huh? But after their own lust, they heap to themselves teachers having itchy. You know itchy? That ear that wants to itch. There's nothing wrong with me. I just got an itchy ear. You know what I mean? It might be obvious. My ear itches. Hey, I want to destroy some soul this morning. Itchy ears. Tell me only what I want to hear. Don't bring no holiness message to me. That's it right there. Don't bring none of that old-time holiness stuff to me. I'm not into that. And besides, it's all legalism anyways. Yeah, isn't that it? It's all legalism anyway. It's all something. It's never what it is. Always looking. Preachers today who are twisting the hearts and minds of multitudes of people. They're under the sway of this. Turning their minds, turning their hearts, injecting into their minds thoughts that they never even thought before. And now, by hearing that person now who is here, just only feasting here in his own lust, we've got to bear that in mind, what it's doing then to multitudes of people, young and old, because they set up and they listen to it. Now, what can we do about it? I can do just what the Word says. It told me that I should reprove and I should rebuke and I should exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's what I can do. That's what this text is telling me that I can do. And they'll turn away their ears from the truth. And it said they're turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Huh? Shall be turned unto fables. Now, if we listen to that, then what we're going to have is a lot of lying, a lot of lies, a lot of false doctrine, a lot of false teaching. It'll creep into the church because these people, this is what they're thriving on. This is what they want. This is the thing they want to hear. So they have heaped to themselves. Teachers have an itchy ears. Hey, we're warned of this happening. Now, the thing that I note is when the Bible says something like, the time will come, some people never ask the question, has this time come? Can I expect this time to come soon? Is there anything like this that I could look at and say, hey, this is happening in my day? This is happening in my generation? Hey, you look at a lot of things and there's the signs that will tell you something. Hey, I look across the sea and there's a little nation called Israel. If that little nation, now a sovereign nation called Israel, is over there, I've never went over to see. I'm sure it's there. I mean, I hear about it all the time. And here's this little nation, and every time I look at it, it tells me this. It just opens my mind to say that this is a sign that will tell us the end of the Gentiles is not very far behind it. So the forming of that little nation brought into being and existence, it's been there for a while. The world ought to look at it, and the world ought to understand, and the world ought to say, it must be a sign somehow from God to us. And to us Gentiles, it's a sign to say to us, hey, the times of the Gentiles is drawing to an end. The time of Gentile world rule, the time of Gentile possession here, we're there in possession and controlling of most everything. Oh, yes, and that end time is creeping in. Shouldn't we talk about it? Shouldn't we declare it? Shouldn't we see there's a sign there that he said Israel would be dispersed among the nations until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled? Now, this is something we look at as tangible. You know, a little nation, we can look at it and say it's a sign surely of something. Look at all the generations. There was no little Israel over there. And what there was hardly Jewish at all. And if you want to know what the mess is over there now, it's because years and years and years that everybody else looked at that place, and somehow they went up there and they built something up there, and now they call it theirs. And poor little Israel now can fight to struggle to keep what little it has. But listen, we see things that give us a sign. And when we look at that sign, it speaks of the times. And here, we can look at something that will speak to us and say, when we see this, what we're preaching here when we see them heaping teachers unto themselves, having itchy ears, who turn away their hearts from the truth. We know we're at the end of the age. We know we're down here near the close of this very dispensation. We know the end of these things is near at hand. And I would want us all to think this morning how important it is that we're willing to listen. So God is telling us. It's not me that's telling us. They shall turn away their ears from the truth. They shall be turned to lies, to fables. Now, with that kind of thought in your mind, let's take a halt now and consider such a day. I don't want my heart and mind twisted. Hey, I don't want to listen to somebody that's wanting to mess with my mind. I don't want some psychologist up here behind the pulpit preaching to me. Can you say amen? I'm not looking for the psychiatrist to come to church and straighten you folks out. If there's any hope of you getting straightened out, it's going to take the gospel, isn't it? Hey, it's been the gospel that got us straightened out. And we that have found our way, we found it through the gospel. We didn't find it through psychiatry, did we? No, we didn't find it over there. Hey, this day that we're living, when men now and preachers, lots of a new kind of brand of preachers, the basis of their knowledge and understanding is psychology. Now they're bringing it into the church. And now they're teaching your behavior problems. Your behavior. You know, there's a prescription you can get for your problem. It'll take it away. Yeah, it's no longer sin. It's there and it's wrong. It's some psychological thing now. It's a chemical balance or it's something else. And there's always this thing to try to justify going down the wrong road. I want us to know this morning, when the Bible is speaking to us, that this would be the order of the day. They would be then in this realm, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. That's what you got to realize. A preacher turning away your ears from the truth. You want a preacher who turns you the opposite, bringing you to where you hear, and you hear the Word of God. And you hear the teachings of the Scripture. And where you hear, and you let it into your heart that you can perceive it and you can gain understanding. And soon you'll know God's way and you'll know God's Word. You'll know from His Word what God would expect of you. But I look at that which is spoken here as a very dangerous thing that people would get away with even doing it. Why would somebody want to go to church where they're turning your ears away from the truth? Where they're throwing the Bible aside and where they're preaching something different. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to be in that. I want to be in the place with Jesus. But God was on to speak to us so that our hearts would stand and we wouldn't be led that way. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions and do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of thy ministry. That's part of that solemn charge. Now, this is what I should be doing? Is this what preachers should be doing? I think so. But watch thou in all things. If there ever is a watchman for the church, it ought to be the one that's sitting here looking back where he can see everybody. Huh? Hey, a watchman. Someone now who's up there in that high tower at the corner of the wall, and he can see what's going on in the city, but he can also look out and see, is there an enemy marching in? Is there someone coming? Hey, they looked and they watched, and they had a watchtower. And then that they had a watchtower, they had a watchman, and a watchman on the wall. And then a watchman on the wall, and he's looking out, and there's somebody coming, and they don't know who it is. But finally, the watchman said, I think it's Jehu, because, he knew his reckless driving. Hey, what kind of a reckless driver he was when he had those reins in his hand. Well, they knew then it was him by his very actions. Well, they saw as a watchman on the wall and saw him coming. Well, let's understand, we want to be as a watchman on the wall. Hey, watchman, what of the night? Are we watching? What are we watching for? Somebody said, I'm watching television. I mean, what are we watching? We're a watchman on the wall. Hey, I'm watching. Hey, I'm watching the football game. I'm watching the basketball game. I'm watching the baseball game. Hey, be careful what you're watching. Hey, that's something to think about. You have a duty to be a watchman. I have a duty to be a watchman. Well, I want to. No, hey, what of the night? Hey, what are the times when it's dark? What are the night? Hey, what are the battle? What is going on? Hey, how are we shaping up here? What is the enemy doing under cover of darkness? Some of you remember the vision I told you I saw one night in church. This was a vision now, and it was a strange-looking vision because I saw the enemy coming in. The enemy was brought in and parachuted in, and they had black parachutes. That made me feel warm. Why would they have black parachutes? Whenever you see a parachute, what color is it generally? Is it a white thing? Hey, a light-colored thing? Well, why would they be coming in now and dropping these people in darkness? And in the darkness, nobody could see them. And there they are, they're sneaking in under the cover of darkness. And then as I was watching them coming, I saw two things. I saw a woman, and she's laying on the floor, and she's stretched right out. And I'm looking at her. Boy, she's a funny-looking woman in a way. Her face and her countenance. But then she was the witch. She was the spirit medium. And these thou that were sneaking in, you know, they had a relationship to her. So it was then the Lord said, now they've got, it won't be long, they'll have the print presses, they'll be running now. And the print presses are going to be running in this place where these had snuck in unaware, and now they're getting their literature out there and they're propagating and they're spreading it. And then there's stronghold of this kind of thing now going on again of witchcraft. And God, show you. You know, they sneak in with it. There they are. It's like nobody knew where they came from. Well, they snuck in. Well, God knows very well that these things are pretty subtle that slip in. Hey, these preachers, they slip a lot of things into God's people. They turn away their hearts from the truth. Now, all of us should understand there's a lot of great preachers, a lot of faithful men of God who stand for truth and stand for righteousness and stand for hope. There's a lot of great men of God. And we don't want to think because we talk about some make-believe, someone who are not ready even to be classified. You know, surely they're workers of iniquity. Hey, they're out there and the message they're preaching is not true. They're deceivers. They're Satan's crew. Can we say amen? No, I think then that he spoke these words, but watch thou in all things. Watch thou in what? All things. Watch. Now, who's to watch? Well, the person he gave the charge to. The man of God that he gave the charge. But watch in all things. I've got a duty to watch. You've got a duty to watch as a preacher. There's a duty to watch. Hey, you will catch a lot of things if you watch. If you never watch, if you never look, if you're never in the realm to suspect that something's not right sometimes, well, then you can get away and the devil will sneak in on you and Maya will do you in. But I understand clearly from God's Word that there's a commission now. You know, as part of our work here, watch thou in all things. Then why does he say this to these preachers who are called with such a solemn charge? Why does he say this? Endure afflictions. Endure afflictions. You know, the faithful man of God may have to endure many afflictions. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. But to the faithful who stand in the way with God, to the faithful who are faithful watchmen, they best be prepared to know the times are going to be that you're going to just have to endure afflictions. Attacks. Sometimes you wonder why some things happen to some people. Why are they so attacked? You know, why that attack? Why is this thing happening to that? What you would say is a good brother, a good sister, a good pastor, a good person. Now, it's like I mentioned to you before of this, and it'll give you a picture of what I'm saying. Better be willing to endure afflictions. When I went down to Wichita to see my daughter when she was very sick at the time. And she sure needed help. And I wondered in my mind, hey, what is going on behind the scenes here? What is happening here? Why is my daughter being so afflicted? Not once, not twice, not three times, but afflicted. Get deliverance from one affliction, go along a ways, and then there's another one. And then there's another one. You know what I mean? Why those afflictions? Well, I just set my heart that day and I said, Lord, I'm going to pray. And Lord, I want you to pull the covers off of this thing that I can see what it really is. Hey, we don't want this like somebody in bed with the covers on. Hey, we want this that God will take all the covers away that would reveal the works of the devil and what he would strive to do. And so he did. And after I had prayed a while and sought God, and wondering what was going on, and suddenly I'm talking to the Lord just like, I am preaching to you. I was just going on, talking to the Lord. I was praying. And while I was praying, all at once I heard a voice real clear come right into my ear. Now, somebody would normally say, boy, that must be God, huh? Don't always think it's going to be God if there's a voice come to your ear. But this voice, when it spoke to me, said, talk with me. Compromise with me. Oh, boy. All at once, something exploded inside. Oh, did my spiritual dander get up? And I recognized as soon as I heard it, there, that spirit that works in many places wanting to destroy, that very spirit that gets the churches to compromise, that gets the people in this last day who heap teachers unto themselves having itchy ears and compromise. And you see, there's the devil's tactic. Talk to me. Don't say one word to him. If you say any one word to him, say, get under my heel, Don't talk to the devil. He'd like to talk. He would like to compromise. What do you mean? He'd like you to compromise. He wants the preachers to compromise with him. Hey, I won't bother your church. I won't fight your church. He wants it to be in a place where, like, he's in controlling the church. Oh, no. We don't want to hear any of that. When I heard that voice, it stirred my spirit. And I'll tell you, if I ever prayed to thrust the devil down to hell, to thrust that spirit down to hell, I sure did that day. Boy, at the top of my voice. One of those things that we have to stop and realize, hey, these are trouble spots in the work of God. And if we don't take actions. So there was that spirit now. And I suppose then its purpose was, I'll let up just as soon as you start compromising. I'll let up as soon as you start compromising. You quit preaching that hard stuff. You quit preaching those things. You quit doing this, and I'll let up, and I'll go away, and I won't bother your church. I'll go down the street and bother that holiness church down the street. I'll go down there and bother. I'll go down there in trouble. So we recognize there's a lot of things if you see them. But he said to watch, and watch in all things. No, but watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Hey, if we're embroiled in, we're in a battle, endure it. Wasn't the Apostle Paul embroiled in a battle? Hey, wasn't he tied to a whipping post at Philippi? My, just a new place. Why, hardly anybody knew him yet. Hardly anybody would have recognized the name Paul. But yet, they're already tied to the whipping post. They're already now beaten and whipped and thrown into jail with their feet and hands in stocks. And there was Paul and Silas in that condition. And we would look and say, he's hardly been in town. He hasn't been here too many weeks. My, he just came up here. God just gave him a vision, showed him to come up here. And going up there, and look, trouble is already there. Why should he meet such trouble so quickly? Because there was a lying spirit of divination, huh? There was a false spirit, and it was at work in a woman, and she was going about saying things that sounded kind of right. Hey, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. And Paul knew it wasn't her really saying it. And he turned that day and he rebuked that spirit of divination and commanded it to come out. And it came out the self same hour. But he wasn't there very long. Why would he endure? Why did he have to endure such afflictions? So all of those five times beaten, those three times clubbed, being stoned, drug out of the city, left for dead, all of the other things that happened, even out on the high sea, or the shipwrecks. My, the swimming out there the night, the day, in the deep. Why is all of these afflictions happening to this man? Because he saw what was going on and he did something about it. He reached out to go and do what the Lord said and go and preach and win souls and declare to them the truth, you know, of the gospel. Well, he said endure afflictions. You got to endure them. Someone said it's hard here. I think I'm going to move on. I don't care where I go. It wouldn't matter to what part or nation in the world I'd go. There still would be afflictions when you got there. Amen? You can't push those things aside. But God said to endure them. Why didn't he say, I'll just stop them? Why didn't he say, I'll just cut them right out for you? No, he said endure it. There's something then that's borne by the preacher. Some of the manifestations of the sufferings of Jesus in the preacher. Now the preacher's in enduring afflictions. Now he's learned he's got to stand up. And if he doesn't endure afflictions, he'll give way and he'll soften up and he'll do this. He'll not only be in the realm where he won't want to endure afflictions, but he'll want to cease from doing the work of truth. Oh, look at what that says. Now, watch thou in all things endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Now, do the work. Timothy, up until this point, I don't know as he was referred to as being an evangelist, but at this point, he is spoken of to be. We know now that surely he'd done pastoring. We know he had a lot to do with pastoring at the church at Ephesus. We know he had his place, you know, in his work. But here it's not just God writing to Timothy. It's just the object that God used to convey the message that it would get to all of us and to every one of us. And it's a message to preachers. So we want to do the work of an evangelist. Whatever the work is God gave you to do, you want to do it. Whatever it is you're called to do, you want to do it. If God made you a teacher, you want to be a teacher. You know, whatever God makes you to do, that's He gives you to do, that's what He's expecting of us. So He's saying to him, do the work of an evangelist. Or I could say to you, do the work of a pastor. Hey, do the work of a prophet. Do the work that God gives you to do. But there's the realm of error that can come, and it can come and seem to find its way. And he said to Timothy, do the work of evangelist, but make full proof of thy ministry. Make full proof of your ministry. Be careful that you're not aiding the enemy somewhere. Be careful you're not aiding and abetting the enemy or the enemy's camp somewhere. Make sure. Make sure. Now, doing the work of an evangelist was a great new work for him to do. And, well, I suppose he would do it well. Yet he is spoken of that he should stop along the way and examine what he's doing. Hey, what am I doing here? What am I conveying to the church? What is my church getting out of what I preach? Does the message come out the way I think I'm preaching it? Does the message get out to get into your heart, to help you to go deeper, to want to go all the way, to want to put yourself in the realm of serving the Lord with your whole heart? Is that message leading you to where you have light and you can see the truth, and my, you not only see it because you heard it over here from the pastor, but you saw it in the Scripture. You know, the pastor liked to teach you right out of the book. I could forget about the book and go ahead and preach to you, but shouldn't I use the book? Shouldn't I use the Scripture? If I don't give you the Scripture, you don't know what I'm talking about. If you have the Scripture, at least you got something to go back and check up on and say, well, he said, and this is what he said. And go back and look and see, did I say something wrong? Well, if I misquoted the Scripture, well, there would be some place. But he's called to make full proof. F-U-L-L, meaning make a total proof. Make a total proof of your ministry. If your ministry is a ministry of God, you can prove it out. If the ministries of God Hey, a lot of people are going to know you are God's minister. People that have a discerning, an understanding in their heart, hey, they'll know who you are. They'll know because they've heard you. They've heard the message. And I still stand firm that this is my place. That when I preach, I should have it open. And I should be preaching right out of it. I should be preaching what it says. I should declare what this Bible says to you now. And here it is. And here's a message. And it's a message of very stern warning, giving us a charge. That charge, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm charged with a pretty strong charge. I better do what He said. I better be careful what I do. Can you say amen to that now? Are you folks careful about what you say? You know the old thing? You could start a little saying somewhere over here in the corner of the church. Just tell one person some little lingo. Tell them, now you go tell somebody else and so on and so on. By the time it would get back to the end of the line, it would be so changed, it would be so different that the person now wouldn't even know that was the thing that they said to say. All because people have a natural kind of a makeup that they take the things that are said, and then when they quote it, they add to it what they think or something. Now, I look at what God said, and that's what we're talking about. And so He's telling us we should make full proof of our ministry. Make a full proof. Who's supposed to make the proof? Well, I mean, there's somebody over there in the corner. We'll just get anybody. Let them do it. Who can make full proof of anybody? Full proof. I have to make the proof. I have to satisfy down in my own soul. I have to search out with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost leading me in prayer and supplication to know the things I'm doing are right, that I'm not doing something that's wrong. And when I feel a check of the Holy Spirit, I better stop right now. I best not go on and proceed another step until I look and say, why is He telling me to look here? Why is He giving me a check here to say, hey, don't take that step. You're about to step out of line. You're about to step in a trap. Hey, did you ever step in a bear trap? My, I wonder how any bear ever endured stepping in a bear trap. But if you stepped your foot and that old thing clamped on you, there's no way you can get yourself out of it unless you can somehow cut your leg off. A trap. Sometimes God gives you a check. Stop. Stop right here. You're going over the line. Hey, don't look at that woman. That's not your wife. You see, a check. You're looking at another man's wife. You're looking with a lust in your mind and heart. You're looking at something that belongs to someone. You're about to enter into that sin called coveting. We should stop. There's a lot of checks come along in your life where you may not hear some clicking or you may not hear any sound. Just somehow, suddenly, you feel within God is saying, stop! Stop! Stop and look at what's around you. Stop and look. Before you enter into temptation, before you're brought down, before the enemy then gets a chance to lead you to get your foot in a trap somewhere that you're going to have a novel time getting out. And I know there's a lot of folks who are in traps that they can still not find their way out. They should have stopped and they should have listened when some good pastor told them, no, don't do it. How many times I've said to someone, no, don't do that. That's not God. Don't do it. Sometimes it's because they initiated. They come and they said, like Brother Daly, do you think I should buy that house? Hey, I'm not a real estate man. But you're a child of God. And somebody asking because they would want, you know, and feel that if you told them not to do it, that they could be confident that they're being led into a trap, they shouldn't do it, and then God is trying to tell them, hey, there's something wrong with that. Why buy it? And I remember one woman who did that. She went ahead and did what she really wanted to do. She bought this house. But Maybe she's relying on the fact that she asked me. She didn't do what I told her. I said, don't buy that house. It's going to be a nothing but a trouble to you the day you buy it. It'll just be trouble to you until you finally somehow get rid of it. So she bought it, and it was nothing but trouble to her from the day she bought it. She should have what? Should have listened. Well, hey, that's on a matter, you know what I mean, it's down here on the earth, something earthly. Hey, my job is not really to tell people to buy houses or not buy houses, or invest and don't invest. Oh, no, that's not my job. Hey, it's just a child of God, just right there, and there's a check there. They're going to step right into it. And a preacher said, well, hey, don't take that step. That's going to get you in trouble. Well, just to tell them the difference. But she wished many times afterwards that she would have listened to what I said. It caused her grief. It cost her money. She finally got someone to take the house off her hands at a great loss. And there was no money made in that deal. Only the broker. Only the person who come along and kind of hoodwinked her in that. So I want us to think, God has a lot of things to say. Make full proof. Do we make full proof of our ministry? Now, I'm looking at you as though you should have a ministry too. I think everybody who is Spirit-filled should have some kind of a soul-winning ministry. So, as Acts 1:8 makes it clear to us, you know, the reason why we would get filled with the Holy Ghost, that we would all be witnesses unto Him, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, Boston, or South Carolina, or where. Amen? So, let's hold fast and make full proof that we now, as God's people, are not sensitive enough sometimes to know that God is checking you. The Holy Spirit is checking you. You may feel uncomfortable. And lots of times, that's what the check is. God makes you feel like that's an ugly thing. Hey, don't go near it. He makes you feel deep inside, hey, there's something wrong here. And He makes you aware of it. But then so many times people just go on and do it anyways. Now I want us all to recognize that we have to be careful. And as preachers, we're surely warned here, we have a great duty of service to perform unto the Lord. And He wants us now to do the work, making full proof of the ministry that He gives us. So, I could wonder there, and I could say, well, why would I have to check it out? Don't I just know that? Don't I just understand that? Don't I kind of pray? I look to God. I talk to Him every day. Why wouldn't I know that? Why would I have to make proof of it? You'd have to make proof of it sometimes, because sometimes there are things that are not right. There are things you think are right. There are things sometimes that look right are absolutely wrong. And sometimes preachers, and we know of lots of them along the journey, my, they had a ministry. You know what their ministry was? Tithes and offerings. Hey, their ministry was how much money they could gain. You know what I mean? Hey, they worked on this, and they went out there as a preacher, but they would spend maybe 15, 20 minutes in the Word, but my, they'd spend an hour and a half taking up an offering. Hey, when a preacher takes up an hour and a half to take up an offering, you ought to get up and leave church. You ought to get up and say, hey, why would you take an hour and a half to take up the offering? Because the whole service was taking up the offering. Hey, you take up the offering. Fine. Hey, the offering is for God's work. And hey, it comes in and it does a lot of things. But when it comes, fine. We need to know that we're doing the right thing. So, therefore, I would know this. And I learned this when I was very young in the ministry. I saw another preacher having a lot of time spent taking up an offering. Boy. And then I remember one night in a service, and he was irate because he didn't think he got enough money. So there was the offering sitting in a little bucket, like, you know. And he went, whew, and he kicked it, and it went everywhere. Now, that would tell you something, would it, brother? Would you discern that right away? The offering plate being kicked and the money going everywhere? Why did he do that? His greed was not filled or fulfilled. And therefore, he got upset. He thought they should have done more and they should have done better. Can be a greedy dog. Did you know one thing about a greedy dog? It's the commonest thing you'll know about a greedy dog. He can't have enough. He can't have enough. Now, I want each one of us to be in the place this morning where we recognize making foolproof is a real job. Now, I looked at that and I said, now, something's wrong. Then I found a few other things along that didn't seem right. And I saw this kind of a situation happening where there was a new way of taking up an offering. That there's some kind of an ism, you know, to take this up for. And so you got to have a good thing when you take up these kind of offerings. So you get a tearjerker, you know what I mean? You get a real good saying. Hey, we're taking up Bibles for Russia. You know, back in those days, taking up Bibles. We're sending Bibles to Russia. Well, could you think of a better thing to do? Would you think it was wrong to send Bibles to Russia? Now, the little tactics. A preacher comes in. He's got a little thing. He uses gimmicks like that. They're tearjerkers, make people feel, oh, my, we got to do something here. But then there was other things. And that was preacher's collusion. The preacher's saying, we'll take up the money for Bibles, right? And we'll split the money. And some they do 40, 60, and some a little different. Yeah. You take 40% and I'll take 60%. And they get the money and the people give and they heard and they wept and they cried and they said, oh, how they needed Bibles. Right? Then they went out in the back room and they sat down with the offering plate and one took 40% and put it in his pocket. The other one put 60% in his pocket and they walked away and there never was any Bibles bought. Can you think of that now? What would you call that? There was a verse they never seemed to read. The verse was, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. See, that was just the preacher may have thought he was doing a good thing. Oh my, how could you think you were doing a good thing if you took money for one thing and then you weren't willing to give it, you know? So stop and consider what I'm saying. Make full proof of your spiritual life. Not just a preacher. Is there any little things go on in your life that aren't right? Are you doing little corrupt things, crooked things, things you know you shouldn't do? I believe God is faithful to warn us and to show us. So today we're looking at a solemn charge. And it's going to affect the preachers to keep it. So watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelist now and make full proof of your ministry. That's Timothy now being instructed of Paul to follow these instructions and to make sure his living by them, that his practices, that the things which he did and preached to sound and right, so that when he preached to others, and Paul warned him about this, that after you preach to others, you yourself become a castaway. Huh? Hey, think of that now. Wouldn't that be awful? Hey, you got up and you preached to others and you told others about salvation. You told others, yeah. You told others and a lot of things. But after you preach to others, your corrupt ways causing you now, you're going to lose out and be a castaway in the end. Well, that's the way we have to kind of consider the Word and take it to heart. Do we like this Word? Hey, it's a powerful message. I have to take it as a serious charge. And I never read this without thinking then that this is a serious charge to me. I am commanded before God. God is my witness. Not my witness, a witness against me if I corrupt myself. Or God is my witness if I stood in truth and walked in truth and walked uprightly and did what he said and do the things he wanted me to do the way I should do it. and walk in holiness and righteousness and uprightness before God. God is my witness of the life I lived. God is my witness, and before the Lord Jesus, God is my witness that I did preach this gospel, that I did warn men, that I did take the time to tell people, hey, this is the thing that God is saying here that you have to do. And each one of us have to take that thing to heart. So, it's a strong message, but why is it here? Because they were heaping to themselves teachers having itchy ears who were turning away their hearts from the truth. Pretty solemn message, isn't it? Teachers now have an itching ears. Teachers who are turning away their hearts from the truth, turned unto fables. Oh, the judgment of God. I never would want to be one to say, oh God, you got to bring judgment. No, we don't bring that up. Hey, all too soon, God will bring His judgment. All too soon, His judgment will be. But in that day, will there be one thing He'll forget? Will there be one thing in your life He cast aside and said, I'll never judge Him on that? Boy, if we're going to get judged, aren't we really going to be in the judgment seat of Christ when we stand before Him? He's going to examine all our whole life and ministry. Our what? Our whole life and ministry. Not a sermon I ever preached would be ignored. Nothing that I ever did, no counseling that I ever give would be ignored. How did I do on all those things? What about this one? What about that one? Hey, I preach a lot of sermons, don't I? If this church gets anything, I'll tell you this, it gets plenty of God's Word. Just as plain and simple as this morning. We want to be in that realm, in that place, where when we do stand before the great judge, when we stand before Jesus, and He's there to reward us because we've lived a good life, because we've been a faithful person, because we put our whole heart into it. We've put our life and we've laid our life down. We've taken up our cross and followed Him. Hey, we suffered when we had to suffer. We went without when we didn't have anything. We were glad and rejoiced when we did have. And sometimes when you had abundance, you thought, my, what a blessing here. You filled your stomach well. What worse? Lots of things. But in the end, what's going to really matter? But that I have loved and served the Lord Jesus with all of my heart. In all these years, what else will matter? And if I haven't, what would it gain me? What would it profit me? What would a man give in exchange for a soul? I mean, if he gained the whole world and lost his soul, there would be no gain at all to him. But here, in our work, we have to look at the end of the matter too, is we have to kind of stand and be firm because we do have to give an account. Now, we're warned about giving an account because I have to give an account what I do with you as a person. But remember, it won't be very good for many people that I know in the day when they stand before God because they refused to do what was right. And they did things that were contrary and disobeyed, wouldn't take the reproof or wouldn't take the correction. Surely, in the end, it won't sound very good for them. But hey, that'll be what they'll have to deal with in their judgment. It's, to me, is how faithful was I in dealing with you today? How faithful am I in preaching to you this morning? How faithful am I in taking care for the things that pertain to your soul? That's the kind of things I have to examine all the time. So I'm glad this morning that we all can love Jesus. And shouldn't we? And that with all of our hearts. Let's love the Lord. Let's be spiritual people who are very truth-oriented, truth-minded. Hey, we want to live by the truth. We don't want one lie mixed in what we do. We don't want no lies. No, we don't know false teaching. We don't know false profiting. Hey, we want to do the will of God. So let's hold firm to that, and we'll just give God the glory. So I hope I said something this morning that would really touch our hearts. To make us realize is we're about to enter into a new endeavor. As we're listening to God who is telling us about a revival that He has given to us, an outpouring of God that's beyond anything we have known, it's a good time to start off on the right foot, isn't it? Start off on the right foot. You do everything you do with all your heart. And you do it out of the love of your heart. We do our service out of the love of our hearts. But we have to kind of go by the rules. And I don't want to miss God and anything that He has. And I'm sure this morning how important it is that we don't miss God. When God is wanting to move, as He's made so clear to us, we've got to be ready, haven't we? We've got to move as God directs our hearts. We've got to be ready and listen. We've got to be putting our heart. Got to be sincere and serious. And that don't mean just the pastor, does it? Hey, those words go to all of us. Were revivals ever spoiled by what somebody did? Can you tell me a revival the devil really tried to spoil? Well, we could think of those times when certainly the devil was out to interrupt, and he was out to not lose his sorcery that he planned to do, because these preachers of truth came along and wanted to offer him money, so that on whoever I pray for or lay my hands on, they'd receive the Holy Ghost. Simon the what? Sorcerer. Now there was a man who acted like he got saved, didn't he? Maybe he thought he did. But when it came to the Holy Ghost, and Peter, John, and John was dealing with him about that, and he wanted to buy that power. What a corrupt brother! Could you imagine what that would be like if somebody had that on everybody? Hey, what would the Holy Ghost mean? Boy, wouldn't they bargain? Hey, wouldn't they be out there in competition? Hey, if I touch you, you're going to get it. Hey, give me $100, you know? Oh, God is good.